Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. So it felt like spring for a while there, didn't it? Our run of nice warm weather was a welcome one, especially on the heels of what had been a very cool, wet start to the season. The gardeners among us may have been tempted by the reprieve and the deluge to go out and get some planting and pruning done, but was that a wise move? And what has this soggy season meant to our lawns? Lake Effect contributor Melinda Myers is going to take off her hip waders for a few minutes to give us a sense for what's going on in our yards. Welcome back to the show.
Always great to be here, Mitch.
I know I've asked this question before, but given the way things have gone this spring, I think it bears asking again. Do our plants care how warm it is as long as it's above freezing and they're getting enough water and light?
You know, that's a great question. Some plants are very temperature sensitive. So things like tomatoes and peppers really need not only warm air, but warm soil. So the late spring, all the moisture, especially those gardening in clay soil, are going to need to wait. Traditionally, Memorial Day is planting day. It may be early June, or we may just want to give them a little extra TLC, maybe cover them with a floating row cover, that type of thing. But there are plants like pansies and broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower that like it cool and tolerate our cool soil. So actually, the cool spring will be better for things like peas and those. The flavor's better. They really grow much better. So it's about matching the plant to the growing conditions, not only soil type and sunlight, but also temperature.
And this is why also I gather that the daffodils and the tulips were happy to come up regardless of the fact that it was 45 degrees and raining.
You bet. And you notice they were a little bit later than last year, which was an unusually warm season, and about the same as the year before. So temperature will influence when they come up, but you're right. They like the cooler temperatures. The blooms last longer as well. So as long as we don't get a cold snap on the flower buds, they can take those cooler temperatures. In fact, I've seen plants like crocus and glory of the snow under a foot of snow for about a week. They came out beautifully. The snow was a great mulch. The temperatures were 15 going into the snowfall. Those were more frost tolerant than some of the other plants we grow.
That's good news for our friends in Minnesota who had the foot and a half of snow. Well, so as far as specific plants go, I want to start with the lawn, actually. It seemed a little like adding insult to injury that after this cool, wet spring, all of a sudden we were out there cutting the grass. What sort of impact has this spring had on grass and lawns?
You know, we've gotten a lot of rain. Unfortunately, it didn't come last summer when we needed it, but it is recharging our groundwater. So that's a good thing. The cool temperature's excellent for grass, delaying a bit of germination. And that means if you've seeded your lawn a little earlier than you should have or did some dormant seeding, things are just starting to come up. So now is a great time to be overseeding, seeding those bare spots. And unfortunately, some people are redoing their lawn totally after last year's drought. So the cooler temperatures and that moisture, great for the rain. And you're bad for the mowing, but good for the rain. So this is a good time. Now, if you are seeding your lawn, do not use a crabgrass pre-emergent because that'll kill the grass seed too. So you'll have spent a lot of money and time and end up with the same bare spot. So decide, do I need to overseed and I'll deal with crabgrass next year? Or do I need to deal with crabgrass? So if your lawn is pretty thin and bare, I'd go with seeding.
I know in the heat of the summer, you recommend raising the blade on the lawnmower a bit. Is the reverse the case during these conditions? Should we be cutting grass way back?
You know, you would think that would help extend the time between mowing, but it doesn't. So growing your grass longer is excellent because it encourages good deep root growth, and you'll have a healthier, more pest and weed resistant grass. And you're going to be cutting it the same amount of time if you mow properly, and that's removing no more than a third of the total top growth. Cutting more than that is stressful, and we all have to do it at times because we're out of town, run out of time, and so we harvest our lawn, I call it. Chop those clippings up if you don't have a mulching mower and leave them on the lawn. But try to get out there as often as possible and remove no more than 1 inch total, about a third of the total height.
Let's say you're not seeding at this stage of the game, but you're still dealing with some health issues. What at this stage of the growing season should we be doing about things like crabgrass and creeping Charlie and all
that
stuff?
The weeds did great last year. Somebody once asked me, what's with that? The weeds do great, the plants don't, and that's why they're weeds, because they tolerate those tough conditions. If you want to go a little more eco-friendly, the good news is there are products. There's corn gluten meal that they found that if you do a spring and fall application after 3 years, you can reduce your weeds by 80%. Now, it doesn't kill the existing weeds. It prevents germination. And so we want to apply that when we apply regular traditional crabgrass pre-emergence, when the Van Hoot or Bridal Wreath Spiree are blooming, and those are the ones with the long, white, arching branches. We used to say the forsythia are blooming. They're blooming right now for most of us. So start getting ready, because when you see the lilac flower buds swell or those bridal respirea bloom, you want to make sure you get the crabgrass pre-emergent down. The other thing is there's some good broadleaf weed killers on the market that are more eco-friendly. They use a formulation of chelated iron called Heta or Fajeta, and that's the active ingredient. And Whitney Farms is one of the brands. There are a couple of different ones, but that's the one I'm finding most readily available. And you can spot treat. And I've used it on Creeping Charlie when it's in full bloom, turn the weed black. And if it gets on the grass around it, that just gets dark green from the iron. So it's toxicity from iron. Broadleaf's more susceptible. Iron grass tolerates the iron. Or broadleaf weed killers, when Creeping Charlie's in bloom, is the time to treat. And the same with the other broadleaf weeds. Mid-spring is a good time. Late summer, early fall, even late fall after hard freeze is another good time. So beef up the grass, spot treat your weeds, even if you use natural products to reduce the chemical. And fertilize Memorial Day, Labor Day weekend with a slow-release, low-nitrogen fertilizer, something like a Milorganite.
I was surprised that mushrooms have not really been much of a problem yet in my yard, despite how wet and cool it has been. But given the conditions, should they be a concern?
You know, I think the cool temperatures may be slowing things down. You're absolutely right, though. You'd expect to see an explosion of mushrooms. Mushrooms are the fruiting bodies on soil-borne fungi that decay wood, so old tree roots, which there should be plenty of dead tree roots out there after the drought, you know, any construction material or wood. So I think as the temperatures warm and if we do continue to have some moist conditions, fungi like cool, moist conditions. So maybe we lost a few of the spores over the summer last year. There's got to be something good, right, from that drought.
Well, let's talk about, and you touched on this a bit, in terms of the rest of our landscape, while the temperature has been above freezing, it has really only been in the last few days that we've been able to go out and enjoy it and get into our yards. Has the weather impacted the growing season at all, or have we missed any of our window? I mean, you said it has really been too soon to put in tomatoes. Are we at a risk for not getting them in time?
You know, it's been a good reminder for people that like to jumpstart the season a little early without added seasonal protection. So really, traditionally, warm season plants go in Memorial Day the first week in June. So we're good. The rain really delayed and the cold delay getting some of those cool crops like broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage. So if we get them in the ground now, great time to plant, and it gets really hot in June, the flavor isn't as good. Peas the same way. We usually plant peas early. We like to get them harvested before it gets too hot. One of the things I like about growing in containers is I can start when it's convenient for me, take the plants out on warm days, bring them in, or I like to cheat the system. And I use floating row covers, Remay, Harvest Guard, Frost Blanket, Grass Fast. So it covers the plants or your containers even, lets air, light, and water through, but traps the heat, protecting them down to 24 degrees. And the real clincher, too, is when we go to the garden center and buy plants, we want to ask, have they hardened them off? If those plants are sitting outside and we know that they're outside and they're getting used to the elements, they're ready to go in the garden. If you're buying it inside the Quonset hut, the greenhouse, you're going to have to gradually introduce it. Those banana plants that are in that nice warm environment aren't going to take to being outside in 40 degrees right away. So over a couple of weeks, gradually introduce them to a little more light, the cooler temperatures, and a little bit drier conditions. You're going to water well, but not quite the same humidity as in the greenhouse.
The other thing that all the rain brought into sharp relief was issues surrounding erosion. And I'm wondering if you have thoughts for people. It's obviously too late to protect our yards from erosion problems that have already happened. But what about erosion in the future should we be doing?
One thing we could, if we learn from weather, and I always say being an older gardener is a good thing, not the knees and backs. But the seasons you go through and the longer you garden in your yard or your landscape or your community, you get a better hand on things like erosion. So you're right. You can't undo what's done in terms of stopping what happened, but we can fix it and then look for ways to stop it. So if you had a lot of erosion, do you need ground covers in that area? that will protect the soil? Do you need to put your plantings in raised beds and more water-tolerant plants around that? Do you need to work with your neighbors and look at how the drainage patterns are happening, especially away from the foundation of your house? You know, grading away is one of the best ways to keep water out of your basement. So you're absolutely right. Take advantage of this. Look for plants that tolerate those wet, soggy areas, plants to hold the soil intact, and other strategies. You know, it may be leveling that slope to be a little more gentle, and that's all it takes.
Melinda Myers, thanks.
Thank you, Mitch.
Melinda Myers is author of numerous books, including Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. She's also host of Melinda's Garden Moments on television, and she is a regular Lake Effect contributor. You can learn more about her upcoming series of garden walks at Berner Botanical Gardens from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And an addendum to our conversation about mushrooms: within hours of recording our interview, the mushrooms made their first appearance in my yard. How about yours? Share your garden news or questions for a future segment by stopping by the Lake Effect page on Facebook or tweet us. We are at WUWM Lake Effect on Twitter. While some of the flowers in our yards and along our boulevards may be blooming already, a lot of the flowers this weekend will be of the store-bought variety. Ahead of Mother's Day, we'll talk about the significance of certain flowers when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.